this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey everybody, welcome back, and we are back together again. It's been a while.
It is. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, same to you.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy
holiday season.
Happy New Year.
Greetings.
Don't know when I'm going to see you again.
Yeah, right.
Seems like we're always apart.
No kidding. Hey, let's start with some numbers here. Did you know, and I think you did because we have the same data here, so I'm going to hold it to the side.
Okay.
Did you know the state has had, in the last 20 years, Texas has had 243,000 wildfires?
I feel like this is a trick question because that sounds right, but I don't know if
it's 243,000 wildfires.
243,969, so you're just off.
Off just
244,000 almost, really.
And it burned almost 14 million acres and destroyed 5,300 homes. I had no idea. We're in the news business, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it is a staggering thing. And, you know, the last time, earlier this year, we spoke with the Texas A&M Forest Service, and that, for anyone who doesn't know, is the state firefighting agency. So when the local departments can't handle one of these fires that starts getting out of control, that is who they all call. Yeah. And we were talking to someone there earlier this year, and he said, at any given moment, in somewhere in some nook or cranny of this state, we've got a fire burning. And so they're constantly keeping up with this, and it's something we should be keeping up with as well. And the whole reason that we talked to them earlier this year, I think it was in February of this year, was because they were about to go to the legislature and throw out a big ask for funding here in this state, especially after what we saw happen in California. Sure. At the beginning of the year, when we saw, you know, like the Palisades neighborhood there in LA just go up in flames.
And Texas ranks, I think we said at the time, Texas is like second behind California as far as risk goes.
Yeah, depending on what you look at, it's second or third. Yeah. Colorado is in there as well. It's a bad one as well. But we've got a lot of risk here as far as the number of homes
Sure.
we have here that are in that interface between, you know, urban and sort of that, you know, the wild out there. And this is where these fires begin.
And the legislature recognized that. The legislature set aside money to address this situation in the state after what we saw happen in California. And we're going to start seeing the ramifications of this pretty quickly, I think.
But the battle has been joined here. Legislators putting up quite a bit of money this time around. And we want to get into what they have committed here and what kind of difference this is going to make across the state of Texas, including, you know, probably where you live or close to it. We got Jared Carnes, the fire chief and division director for fire and emergency response at Texas A&M Forest Service, on with us today. Chief Carnes, thanks so much for being with us here to talk about this. And it's good news that you are bringing with you this time, because you all had quite a year at the Texas legislature.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me. Yeah, this year was historic, one of the more historic sessions for us. And so we greatly appreciate all of the support that we received from the legislature and a lot of our state agency partners out there. It was great.
So $630 million, I believe that's what the legislature allocated. What will that actually mean? What are you guys going to buy with that money, and how will that protect my house?
Sure. So, you know, I watched the last podcast with Wes, who's our deputy director, and he mentioned that, you know, fire departments are kind of our first line of defense across the state. So there's roughly 1,800 fire departments out there, most of those being volunteer fire departments. And those departments, you know, they're out there doing bake sales and looking for donations to help support what they do and support their operations. And so One of the biggest programs that we have that we strongly support is the Rural Volunteer Fire Department Assistance Program. That's a grant program that we manage. The state offers funding for that, and those volunteer fire departments can apply for new trucks. They can apply for personal protective equipment, training, things like that. And so over the last several years, we've had quite a backlog in that program. It's very popular, and we have struggled to keep up with the demand at times. And so one of the biggest support that we got from the legislative session this year was funding that backlog. So we received $192 million to fund all of the backlog and outstanding requests through that program.
And that's for fire trucks and equipment, right?
Fire trucks, a lot of these rural equipment, training, personal protective equipment, all of the things that these fire departments need to be able to do their job safely and effectively.
And I like what you all do as far as, you know, when you get that money from the legislature, you don't just sit on it and wait and think about it and whatever. I know that you all have already sort of developed a plan going into the legislative session. This money has already been, you know, put out there to say, hey, if you're, you know, wanting one of these grants, let us know. What has the response been like, and how long before we see those checks actually start going out to these volunteer fire departments across Texas that are the first line of defense and who really need this money to beef up what they've got equipment wise?
Sure. So, you know, really, really proud of our staff here. They're very much a customer service oriented department with the volunteer fire departments being, you know, one of their primary customers. So we actually had our first funding meeting for that that 192 already. Held it back in October. We awarded 559 new fire trucks and 321 slip-on units. A slip-on unit's basically a tank and pump that goes in the back of a truck that they may already have. And so that was roughly $164 million that we funded, within months of receiving that funding from the legislature. And so now we start the process of those fire departments have to go spec out, develop that fire truck on what they want built. The builders or manufacturers have to actually build it. And so we're looking at probably a couple of years of build time on fire trucks. And so they've been awarded those grants. Now they have to go get it built, and then we start the process of getting that check cut. So really, really proud of our folks for being on the ball with that and getting it done quickly. And then we'll have our next funding meeting December 4th, and that'll focus on the fire rescue equipment, and hoping to have basically all of those outstanding requests committed and completed by early next year.
That's tremendous. That's moving really fast to get that equipment at least in process, because as you mentioned, there's some lag time in how long it takes for those fire trucks to actually get made and delivered to. I want to ask you about fixed wing aircraft, because, you know, a lot of us see those images when there's a huge wildfire. We'll see the big helicopters coming in and dumping buckets of water. We'll see airplanes dropping the fire retardant. We watched that in California. It was a tremendous effort that they put up. If you look at Cal Fire, they've got 60 fixed wing and rotary wing aircraft that the state owns. They don't always just wait for the federal resources to become available, as most states do. Most states are reliant on that federal system and asking for those airplanes to be brought in. I didn't know this. When you ask for these things, when you request one of these federal airplanes to be set aside to fight a fire, knowing that the conditions are going to be ripe for it, let's say, there may be a 3 to 5 day lag time before they arrive on site. I didn't realize that. But when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because so many states are usually dealing with this, you know, fire season at the same time, and those resources are in huge demand. And so Texas here has decided it wants to create its own fleet, or at least be able to set aside its own planes to be able to fight fires when those are needed. Can you talk a little bit about how much money was set aside for fixed wing aircraft and what we're looking at doing with that money?
Yeah, another big win for our agency, and again, just really grateful for the support that we received from the legislature. So we received $257 million from the legislature for the initial build out of an aviation program. Now, if you look across the country, obviously Cal Fire's got probably the largest fleet out there when it comes to aircraft, but there's other states. You know, Florida has its own aircraft that it owns. Georgia, South Carolina, Washington, there are a lot of states out there that have fire problems that also have an aviation fleet. And so historically, we've had really good partnerships with the U.S. Forest Service and the Department of Interior, and they've been great to work with. But we do lack a little bit of control over our own destiny when it comes to aircraft. just because they're not our contracts, they're not our aircraft, and so we don't always get to control where they go. Having our own fleet of aircraft will allow us to do that. And so shortly after we received that funding, we established an advisory task force that would help kind of inform our decision-making process. That consisted of about 12 different agencies from across the state that are directly involved with fires. And so we convened that task force. We heard from other states that already have aviation programs. They gave us, you know, the lowdown on what to look out for, what has worked for them. And so we took all of that information, you know, had a lot of conversation and discussion with our partners. And so we started the request for proposal process last month or the month before. And so we have three or four RFPs out right now. One for multi-mission or intelligence gathering aircraft. These aircraft can provide real-time video feed to on-the-ground firefighters, which is a huge, huge game changer for them because now they're seeing it from what a pilot sees, right? They can see, you know, how far that house is in front of the fire. They can see what kind of road system is out in front of that fire. And so it's a huge game changer for us. Plus, they can do some other cool stuff with IR and heat detection. And then we also have a RFP out for large air tankers. This is probably what you're most familiar with. The big C-130 or 737 or whatever the aircraft is on the TV that you see dropping the red fire retardant. So we do have a request out for that. And then we also have a request out for helicopters, which helicopters... are more of a Swiss Army knife. They can do a bunch of different stuff. You can potentially do night firefighting operations with those, which again would be a game changer for us. But you can also do search and rescue. You can do medical transport. There's a lot of things outside of fire that you can do. And so when we sat down to look at, you know, what's the most bang for our buck, what, you know, how can we best support the state and local government? Helicopters is right up there at the top because you can do a bunch of different things with it that can support folks.
Now, is the state buying these helicopters and airplanes, or is it one of those things where you spend the money to sort of put one on reserve so that you had it sitting in your state when you need it the most?
Yeah, sorry, I should have clarified that. Initially, the $257 that we received was for the purchase, maintenance, and operations of aircraft. So that'll get us, that'll buy us this initial round of aircraft, plus it will provide any operations and maintenance costs to go with that aircraft for this biennium. And then the plan will be to go back the next biennium and ask for that funding that we need to operate those moving into the future.
So $257 million, I mean, sounds like a lot of money, but when you're buying aircraft, that's not a lot of money. How many planes and helicopters do you think you can get? And are you guys looking at drones at all for some of this intelligence gathering?
Sure. So there's, you know, aircraft, it is expensive. And I will say that back when we put this request together, you know, it was 2 years ago, prices change. And so we've already seen that in our first RFP is that, you know, it's a little bit more expensive than what we initially, or the initial estimate was. And so what we're looking at right now is four large air tankers, three multi-mission aircraft, and two helicopters. And
you can get all that for $257 million?
Yes, sir. So we're exploring, you know, continue to explore what that fleet makeup looks like as we get costs come back to us from these RFPs. And so there's no guarantee that that's exactly what we're going to end up with, but that was our initial goal when we went to the session, and that's the funding we were provided. So that's what we're going to try to get.
Chief, I'm sorry to interrupt. Where will these sit? Are these sitting in Austin, Dallas? Will these sit out in the West Texas? Where will these be spread out?
So the name of the game with aircraft is that we're highly mobile. You know, we move aircraft around the state all the time. We actually have over 20 aircraft in the state right now. And so these aircraft, they'll have to move around the state as we see the threat shift across the state. That was one of the things that Wes talked about, right? Like there's always a part of the state. It's just so big. There's always a part of the state that's under some kind of fire threat. And so, we'll get to the point, you know, once we kind of know better on what we're actually going to purchase, on where we can house those aircraft, and where we can, you know, have an hangar and do maintenance and all the things that go with it. But when they're not in maintenance, the expectation will be that they're sitting somewhere where it's the greatest fire threat. And so we'll move them to the Panhandle. We'll move them to far west Texas. We'll move them to south Texas. Wherever that threat is, they're going to be mobile.
This is a tremendous, a tremendous step, though, for this state. As you mentioned, a handful of states do have their own fleets in the air, but it's certainly not a common thing across the country. And you could argue that Texas may need this more than most places just because of the size of this state and also the wildfire risk in so many different areas of this state. Was it difficult, though, getting this through the legislature? You know, they've got all kinds of things. They've got so many people showing up, especially when they have these big surpluses with, you know, their hands out wanting some of that money. Was this a difficult sell? I would imagine that it came at a little bit of an opportune time because a lot of these lawmakers were able to watch in real time while they were in session this absolute devastation that we were seeing in Southern California.
Sure. I think that we had a lot of support from our legislators. And I think that, you know, if you look across the state, there's not a district of the state that hasn't been impacted somehow in some way from wildfire. We just had the largest wildfire in Texas history, you know, not that long ago, in the Smokehouse Creek fire up in the Panhandle. And so it's something that you know, certainly the Palisades fire, you know, brought it back to light. But it is a continuous threat in this state. Back in March of this year, we burned 90,000 acres. I mean, it's a topic that is, you know, constantly in the forefront of a lot of people's minds that have to deal with this. And so we felt, you know, a lot of support from the legislature and of course, you know, Wes and Director Davis and our legislative folks had a lot of conversations, and there was a lot of interest in it. So I definitely felt positive throughout the session and just, again, grateful for that support that we received.
So four large air tankers, 559 new fire trucks, a bunch of other things. Put this in context for us. Is this going to fundamentally change the readiness level here in Texas for wildfires?
Definitely. I think that obviously fire departments being the first line of defense, getting them equipped to the level that they should be, you know, that alone helps or assists with the level of preparedness across the state. Being able to add aircraft into the mix that we control, that we operate, is a huge win for the state, not just for wildfire suppression, although that's a big part of it, but for really any disaster. Having more aviation assets out there that can do search and rescue, that can provide intelligence back to, you know, the State Operations Center or EOC, it's a game changer for us. And so it's really exciting, and we're looking forward to the next, you know, few years on rolling this out and implementing it and getting it kind of into our response framework.
And that's the big sort of flashy stuff. I also thought it was interesting that lawmakers put aside millions of dollars just to figure out what we even have right now, because, you know, you get a state this size, you get, you know, almost 2,000 fire departments across this state, and, you know, right hand has, you know, a little bit of difficulty knowing what left hand has and what it's doing. There's going to be sort of this database now to go, oh, hey, we've got four trucks and you've got three trucks and they've got a couple of these, you know, pieces of equipment. Right now, we've been kind of blind on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. That was something I wanted to talk about. So the same department within our agency that administers that grant program they also administer a database of all of the fire departments across the state. And that's something that we're charged with legislatively. And so that fire department database has, you know, number of personnel on that fire department, number of trucks and equipment, and then it actually lists the type of equipment. And so when you get a million acre fire in the panhandle and you need some sort of specialized equipment, if you don't know what's, you know, maybe the fire department beside you or fire department in the county beside you, if you don't know that it's there, then you never call for it. And so mm-hmm. Basically, you know, moving this database to where all fire departments, all county dispatch centers have access and can see, oh, this fire department has this specialized piece of equipment that we need for this response. That alone is a game changer as well. And so we're definitely excited about that. We've already created or completed the work on that. So it's already forward facing. So right now, if you're a fire department and you need some sort of specialized piece of equipment, or if you just need, you know, a regular piece of equipment and you don't know who to call, it's out there and it's available. And wow. Those dispatchers can call for it.
So already we could see an improved response to wildfires, especially as we go into that busy season at the end of winter into spring and then certainly through summer as well. We may see a faster, more coordinated response even before all of those airplanes and helicopters and new fire trucks get here just because of that.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And Chief, when it comes to other states, so, you know, Texas now spending this kind of money on wildfire response, how do we rank compared to other states? As far as just, you know, I guess investment per resident, investment per acre, I mean, is there a ranking now that we've improved on?
I don't know what, you know, what the budget is for Cal Fire or Florida Forest Service or some of these other states. You know, I think that this state has historically always done a really good job of investing in our agency, has done a really good job of investing in our local fire departments. And I will say that, you know, when it comes to fire activity, we are constantly, you know, one of the top states for acres burned or for number of fires. And we are constantly burning, you know, throughout the year. It used to be a fire season, right, where we talk, you know, summer months out in the western U.S., but the Palisades Fire Smokehouse Creek has shown us that this is not just a seasonal issue. It's really a year-round issue. And so we've had, you know, a ton of investment by the legislature into our agency and fire departments to deal with that state, statewide year round issue. And so it's been, again, just very encouraging and we're extremely grateful for it.
Chief, is that the difference here, you know, that we're seeing this year round fire season now as opposed to just pockets of the year? Is that the difference here that necessitates the extra equipment and, you know, the state having its own fleet of firefighting aircraft? Or is it the fact that we have so many people who have been moving here and we keep developing? And, you know, if you drive around parts of this state, man, you see huge subdivisions going in places that are not really necessarily attached to a city. And, you know, we're knocking the trees down, but the stand of trees is right there on the edge of a new subdivision.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of a lot of different things. Obviously, you know, the population growth that we see puts more folks at risk. The changes in land use that we see across the state, you know, smaller tracts that may not be managed the way that they were, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. And the fact that it really is truly a year-round issue, I think all of those things put us, you know, kind of in this unique position as being one of the, you know, top states to face wildfire risk. The other thing that's unique about us is that we're, you know, a private property state. If you look at a lot of the states out west, there is a lot of federal and state land. Here we don't deal with that as much. It's mainly private property here, and so there is a high expectation from, you know, for just not just, you know, the fire departments out there, but also the state, that we suppress those fires quickly. We jump on them quickly. And so so we are very aggressive, you know, with our firefighting efforts, and having, you know, the aviation, the, you know, building up and equipping local fire departments, that will all help in being more aggressive in how we attack fires.
Yep. People love that private property thing here in Texas, but it also opens up some difficulties, because, you know, mm-hmm. I can have my little plot of land, my little ranch, whatever, and I might decide to be as derelict as possible and let the grass grow to my eyeballs and not take any preventative measures. And my property is adjacent to all these other properties, and if something, you know, starts on fire, I'm giving it all the fuel it needs. And so there are some yeah. challenges that also
That's
come
right.
with a lot of private property ownership.
You mentioned 20 aircraft already in the fleet right now. Are those any of those large tankers, or are we still contracting out for tankers?
And those, just to be clear, those are aircraft that have been contracted through the U.S. Forest Service or Department of Interior.
Okay.
And we've ordered them through that federal ordering process. So back in, I don't know if y'all remember, but kind of towards the tail end of the summer, we started drying out. It had above normal temperatures, really, you know, September, October. And so we saw fire activity increase quite a bit in October. We were much busier than we normally are. So we started ordering in aircraft for that risk. And so those aircraft, it does include four large air tankers. Those are currently based out of Abilene, Texas. It's a pretty centrally located spot for fire risk. We have risk in South Texas. We have risk in the Panhandle right now. And so you got to find somewhere that's sort of centrally located that we can get the planes to very quickly.
Here's the last question I have for you, Chief. I mean, this is all really encouraging, especially for folks who live on the edge of you know, really risk areas. But if you could wave a magic wand and get anything else you want right now, what else would you want?
Well, first, you know, I'll just say again, extremely grateful for the support that we've received
sure.
from the legislative.
Yeah, because you're going to have to be back there in a couple of years.
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's going away anytime soon, right? I started back in 2011. I started actually the week of Labor Day. So Bastrop Complex was going on. We had fires statewide. And I've been in fire since 2007. And so it just seems like every year, every two or three years, it's like the next biggest, baddest, you know, worst wildfire, whether that's mm-hmm. in Texas or that's California or it's Hawaii. Fire is an issue that's here to stay. And so there's going to continue to, you know, need to be, you know, continued investment, not just in our agency, but in you know, the fire service. There's also going to need to be investment with local communities and homeowners, and providing them the support that they need to be able to mitigate this risk.
But what's out there that you said, man, I really wish we had an extra $10 million to get this?
You know,
what else is out there that California has? I know they're kind of the envy probably of everyone else.
Sure. So you know, more ground resources is always appreciated. We're spread across about 38 or 39 offices that have response equipment. And so, you know, we would always love to have a few more ground resources out there, especially in the western part of the state, where you've got, you know, maybe a 2-hour response time just due to the distance between offices. And so, you know, if we had to ask for anything, it's probably, you know, a few more ground resources out there.
I didn't realize a 2-hour response time, because, you know, it's everything's bigger in Texas, but man.
Yeah, start talking about a fire on one of those red flag days when the wind is really blowing. Just think about how much it can grow by that time. I'll finish with this here. You know, for people out there who are watching or listening here in Texas who think that this is something that's like, you know, that's a problem for Abilene, or that's a Panhandle problem or whatever. You know, the state has done some analysis and found that 86% of the wildfires that have burned here since 2005, 86% of them have occurred within 2 miles of a community. So where we live, where we work, where we play. So this is something that really affects every corner of this state. It's something that we all have to pay attention to. And again, nobody ever thought that they were going to see the whole Pacific Palisades neighborhood in LA, in the city limits, just completely burned down. So, you know, it's one of those things we all have to keep an eye on. I'll finish with this, Chief Carnes, and I don't want to get you in trouble with any of your coworkers down that way. But I know that Texas A&M, you know, separately, I think it's through the Bush, the Bush Combat Development Complex there, is working with DARPA, the agency that does so many interesting and amazing things. And they're working on some wildfire fighting helicopters, I think, that will be unmanned at some point, that would be able to go in and fight wildfires, maybe particularly in the worst or most dangerous conditions. What do you know about the progress of that and how likely that is to come to fruition in the near future?
That's another one I'm glad you brought up. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about when you asked the question about drones. The Bush Combat Development Center, great people, DARPA. We actually just had a meeting last week to start talking through this. And so they've already are starting to make ground on that. I believe the goal is to have an autonomous Black Hawk helicopter capable of dropping water on a wildfire during the day. That's kind of the first goal. But very, very intelligent people, great vision for what they want to see. There's a lot of agencies outside of Texas that are jealous that they're not part of this process. And so really cool stuff that they're doing. I believe that, you know, they've got some timelines within the next couple of years on goals that they want to meet. And so that Black Hawk will actually be capable of being able to be flown with a pilot or without a pilot. And so really cool technology coming this way. And I think they're going to be successful at it. I think it's just a matter of time.
And that's not one of those like pipe dream, we may see it in 2040 kind of things. This is something that they're trying to get together and roll out in the next several years.
Yeah, I think within the next couple of years, you'll see in testing, I think you'll see a Black Hawk flying autonomously, dropping water on a fire.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Fascinating.
Chief, thanks so much for taking the time to go through this with us. You know, a lot of times we talk about going into a legislative session, like there's a big proposal for this and they're going to ask for that. And then the session happens and then the special session and the special session after that, and the special session. And we never get back to figuring out like whatever happened with that. Did they get that? And again, this is something that affects all of us here in this state. And so it's really good to kind of put that bow on it here at the end and realize what actually did happen. And putting a bow on it is the appropriate term, I think, because boy, you guys really walked away with a big box of goodies on this. That could really help out all across this state. So thanks for taking the time to update us on this.
Thank both of y'all. It's been wonderful to get to chat with you. And anytime we can come on here and talk about all the cool things happening, we're happy to.
Keep up the good work, Chief. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all the best. And thanks to you and everyone there in your office who does the hard work of keeping us all safe around the state from wildfires. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.